Why do we cry at songs we've never heard before? Why does a stranger's kindness sometimes pierce us more deeply than our own victories? There's a peculiar emotional frequency that many of us tune into but rarely name, a state where joy and sorrow aren't opposites but dance partners. This bittersweet sensibility, this capacity to feel pierced by beauty while simultaneously aching with loss, isn't a flaw in our psychological wiring. It's a doorway. Think of the cellist who sat amid Sarajevo's rubble during wartime, playing mournful music while bullets flew overhead. For 22 days, he performed not to inspire courage or defiance, but simply to honor sorrow through beauty. That image captures something essential. Our deepest transformations don't come from relentless positivity, but from courageously facing what hurts. In a culture obsessed with happiness metrics and productivity hacks, we've forgotten that light and darkness are forever paired, and that our longing, rather than being something to overcome, might be the very thing that makes us most fully human. When Pixar developed Inside Out, the protagonist was initially fear. 3 years in, director Pete Docter realized something wasn't working. Facing potential failure, he sank into sadness and discovered his answer. Emotions exist to connect us, and sadness is the ultimate bonding agent. Despite concerns audiences would find sadness too gloomy, Docter rewrote everything. The film won an Oscar and became Pixar's highest-grossing original work. The science supports this. Our compassionate instinct is hardwired across multiple nervous system layers, from the ancient vagus nerve connecting brain to body, through the mammalian periaqueductal gray driving maternal nurturing, to the uniquely human anterior cingulate region. We literally respond to others' pain as our own. People with strong vagal activation show greater cooperation and stronger friendships. This capacity originated with the mother-child bond. Human babies are born prematurely to accommodate our oversized brains, making them exceptionally vulnerable. As we grew more intelligent, we necessarily became more sympathetic. Darwin, who lost his daughter Annie at 10, wrote that compassion is our strongest instinct. What if we honored sadness as the bridge connecting us to others, rather than something to fix or hide? Leonard Cohen lost his father at 9. His first artistic act was burying a poem in his father's bow tie, a gesture that initiated a lifelong pattern of transforming heartache into art. Though famous for his romantic relationships, Cohen existed best in a state of longing, creating his most iconic songs about farewell and leave-taking. Research confirms this connection. Among 573 creative leaders, 25% lost a parent by age 10, rising to 45% by age 20. Artists are 8 to 10 times more likely to suffer mood disorders, and analysis of 1,400 letters from Mozart, Liszt, and Beethoven found that sadness specifically predicted creative output. Beethoven's Ode to Joy exemplifies creativity as movement from darkness to light. For 3 decades, he worked to set Schiller's poem of freedom to music, composing some 200 versions while facing romantic disappointments, family troubles, and devastating hearing loss. At the premiere of his 9th symphony, Beethoven stood on stage beside the conductor, unable to hear the music. When it ended, a young soloist had to turn him around to see the audience on their feet, tears streaming. Though Schiller's poem was exultant, Beethoven's rendition was laced with sorrow, creating transcendent beauty. Whatever pain you can't eliminate, make it your creative offering. Ever been moved to tears by unfamiliar music, or felt an ache watching cherry blossoms fall? A viral video shows a 2-year-old weeping to Moonlight Sonata. Research confirms bittersweet songs elicit stronger physical responses than happy ones. This melancholy preference spans cultures: Portuguese fado, Spanish flamenco, American blues, and even lullabies with themes of sadness and impermanence. Japanese culture calls this mono no aware, gentle sorrow arising from sensitivity to impermanence. This sacred longing travels under many names. Ancient Greeks called it pothos, yearning for something wonderful yet unattainable. C.S. Lewis named it Sehnsucht, that unnameable something piercing us at bonfire smells or wild ducks overhead. The Spanish have duende, Portuguese saudade, Hindus viraha, Sufis their divine longing. Contemporary wisdom dismisses soulmate notions as immature, but the bittersweet tradition reveals yearning exists independently. Romance is merely one expression. Our preferences for tragic drama, rainy days, and cherry blossoms, valued precisely because they die young, all reflect this deeper truth about human nature. Americans smile more than any other society on Earth. When McDonald's opened in Russia, workers were baffled by required cheeriness, explaining, "We are serious about life because life is struggle." Yet 30% of Americans experience anxiety and 20% suffer major depression. Unlike cultures with rituals acknowledging impermanence and sorrow, American sympathy cards feature cheerful colors rather than confronting grief directly. This tyranny of positivity evolved from Calvinism's emphasis on showing predestination through ceaseless labor, transforming into economic predestination, where success became the holy grail. At Princeton, students face pressure toward effortless perfection, appearing successful without visible effort. A new narrative is emerging. Psychologist Susan David teaches emotional agility, holding difficult emotions loosely yet courageously before moving toward positive change. Avoiding heartbreak means having dead people's goals. Only the dead never experience stress or disappointment. When Shell oil rig leader Rick Fox normalized vulnerability with his team, the rig achieved an 84% decline in accidents and sky-high productivity. Research confirms accepting negative emotions leads to less stress and greater well-being. When tragedy strikes, a brother lost to COVID, a child's tears on the last day of third grade, we face the unthinkable. Japanese Buddhist poet Isa, after losing his daughter to smallpox, captured this in a haiku ending with, "But even so." These words acknowledge life's transience while protesting it, a tension we all share. Research reveals a paradox. Awareness of impermanence increases happiness and presence. Older adults experience poignancy, feeling happy and sad simultaneously, which gives life meaning. Knowing time is limited, they prioritize love over ambition. We needn't wait for old age. Practices help. Listening to minor key music, meditating on death, observing nature's cycles, recording elder stories. Marcus Aurelius advised, "You could leave life right now. Let that determine what you do and say and think." Nora McKerney, who lost her husband to brain cancer, offers crucial insight. We don't move on from grief, we move forward with it. Grief is multitasking. Sadness and happiness coexist. Since the 1930s, death moved from homes to hospitals, becoming shameful and forbidden. We've lost the ars moriendi, the art of dying. Perhaps it's time to reclaim it. At 33, working 16-hour days at a Wall Street law firm, the devastating news arrived: no partnership. The Greenwich Village townhouse dream evaporated. Yet this rejection became liberation from a path that had strayed from childhood dreams of writing. After leaving the firm and ending a 7-year relationship came an obsession with a musician named Raul. A friend's insight pierced through. Raul represented the writing life longed for since childhood. The Greenwich Village townhouse had been a misinterpreted signpost, not about real estate, but about finding true home. With this realization, the obsession dissolved and real writing began. What are you longing for? Your unique imprint, singular mission, wordless calling? Explore the meaning behind your symbols. The Kabbalistic metaphor suggests creation as a vessel of divine light that shattered, scattering shards of holiness around us. Our task is gathering these fragments, recognizing that light emerges from darkness. Consider those gathering the broken vessel's shards through love of orchids, languages, chemistry, through dedication as doctors and parents. In a culture selling happiness in pills and positivity in slogans, we've forgotten our sorrows and longings aren't weaknesses to overcome, but gateways to our deepest humanity. To open your heart to pain is to open your heart to joy.